right. Good afternoon, everyone. Brett Henderson here, excited for another episode of the Veteran Entrepreneur Masterclass. We have our guest today, Marine Hiram Figueroa. Also, dude, background, I'll let him give his background a little bit, but I'll say on social media, the guy gets it. He has some live streams that are amazing. And we actually connected on LinkedIn due to his success. I just saw one of his posts and what do you have, like 26,000 likes or something along those lines? So you definitely understand how this game works, brother. So Hiram, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing fine, Brett. And thank you very much for you and Giselle to have me on this show. It's a pleasure, it's an honor. I want to be able to give back to the veteran community and collaborate with people like yourselves, you know. So I'm very grateful. So that's what it's all about. People don't get it when we're talking about collaborating with the veterans, you know, outside of the military.
100%. Well, actually, I'll sidebar on that point you just made. And then once I finish the sidebar, I'm going to come back to you and ask for your military just background briefly so the audience knows kind of what you did when. But I will share recently, I've had a couple interactions with several veterans, which rather than being selfless and wanting to collaborate, viewed it more as competition. And like, I had one person actually had them on my podcast as a guest, and afterwards they didn't invite me on theirs. Really, really odd. And had a connection with another Marine in business, and I said, oh, great, let me chat with them. And they was protective about the relationship and didn't want to introduce me to another Marine. I'm like, do you understand Marines? Like, this is what we do. We talk to each other, we help each other. And that person was not a Marine. It was a veteran, but not a Marine veteran, and didn't quite get that. Another guest or potential guest, which is no longer a guest, only wanted to be on if they would be compensated financially for being on the podcast, and just didn't get the idea of giving back and having selfless service. And so it's really interesting. I've chatted with so many amazing veterans, and then recently I had a handful that just were not on our page. And it took me back. I almost didn't know how to respond in that capacity when someone's like, well, what are your metrics and how many people are there? And what am I going to get paid if I come on? I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, do you have information, knowledge, gouge that you feel will help our veterans, our peers, us? Yes or no? And if you do, you're on. And if you don't, go away. I'll just stop there. What are your thoughts on that? Have you experienced that in your own endeavors? As I'm still, cool, I guess, a newer podcaster. This is, we're in our 20s right now as far as recordings. But what are your thoughts there? Have you seen that? Have you ever experienced that yourself?
Look, I'm going to be very honest with you, Brett. A lot of people don't get it, but here's the biggest thing I'm going to put out. We have people that play the veteran card so much. I'm your brother. Hey, brother. Hey, brother. Hey, brother this. Hey, brother that. Now, what you just explained to me is little forms of microaggression and nepotism to the point where it's like they have narcissistic beliefs and they want to be put in a position where they put you to be able to explain things, and they want to gaslight you with overpromise and underdeliver situations. So my whole thing is that no amount of compensation can bring value to the veteran community when you're an advocate for veterans and veterans' rights. No amount of money or kickback or royalties can bring significant value. We're not like Jocko Willings, and we're not like my buddy Rudy Reyes that's out there, has a special forces show on NBC. Well, we don't have some, you know, I got another guy, Ray Cash Care, they got, you know, and secret operations, they pay a lot of money, and or Man of War, I got that. Those are totally different. People, they expect that limelight stuff. That's not how it works. That's not how it works at all. And I believe that for us, we have to have the ground roots conversations of, you know, the basics of where are we at? We're out. What are you doing? Are you bettering yourself? Are you in that dark hole? Do you have some form of mentorship? Do you have some form of fellowship, an alliance? Can you talk to someone that can see a different perspective versus you? What do you think?
I think you're spot on. And for me, it's their altruistic mission. And the one veteran I spoke with, they make their living through their podcast. And for me, you know, we're exploring sponsorship, but for now it's all altruistic. This costs me money. This costs me time. This is not... This could potentially lead to business down the road, but giving back is what I do. And this is my purpose. This is my mission. And it's taken me almost 22 years to have the congruity of it where it's together and I see it and I know it and I live it. And I'll share this on a couple earlier episodes. And I had a conversation with a veteran this morning. A veteran this morning was introduced to me by another veteran in our group, which I'd love you to join our group too, the Veteran Entrepreneur Masterclass. Just we have a LinkedIn group and a Slack group. We get together once a month. But one of the guests in that group referred me to a DEA agent, and I may have him on the show, but he reached out, and his whole thing was he had experience and has a book and potentially a movie and wants to go to Netflix and go here and there. And he was talking at me and didn't take the time to get to know me, who I am, what's my mission, what's my purpose. And he's just pitching. And I said, stop. If you want help, this is doesn't have to be for veterans. This is anyone in business. If you want something, no one cares what you want. No one cares what I want. No one cares what Giselle, well, everyone cares what Giselle wants, but no one cares what I want, right? Ira, maybe for you too. But I'm like, if you want someone to genuinely want to help you, what have you done to help them first? What question have you asked about them to get to know them, who they are, what their goals are, what their own mission is, what their purpose is? Can you support their mission? Can you not? Can you make an introduction? And I had to stop him. I'm like, look, dude, you're missing it. Like, what you're telling me, your purpose is just to make money, right? And no one gives a shit about you making money.
No, they don't.
And so until you find a different purpose, go back to the drawing board, because no one's going to support you because you're just talking about yourself and you just want money. And what's the right number if we want money? There's survival and there's thriving, but what's the right number of money? Is it 100, 100,000, 100 million, 100 billion? What's the right number of money? That's not the purpose, right? That's not your purpose. That's not my purpose. And when I see that, I told him like, hey man, just take a step back. And I shared, it took me 22 years to finally hone in on my own purpose. So it's not something that happens overnight. And someone says, what's your purpose? You can't necessarily articulate it right away. If you don't have, you don't have it. And that's okay. A lot of us don't have it. And that's why we have so much suicide too with veterans of PTSD, is they don't have that purpose. They lost the sense of camaraderie. They lost the team. So it's like, you can take the time to make finding your purpose be your purpose.
You're absolutely right, bro. And here's the thing, right? I'm in the same dilemma as you. It took me over 20 something years. I've been on LinkedIn for 20 something years since it first started. Actually, to your point, I'm going to circle back. That individual that you talked about that is talking at you is a classic case of a veteran cloud chaser. Is trying to manipulate the system and the algorithms of people that are representing themselves and trying to generate some type of royalty and you sweat equity of your back to be able to profit without giving anything back. So for me, I've been doing this I've been an advocate for since I've been on LinkedIn for 20 something years. It's only recently in the last year and a half, I've been able to elevate the game. And I say elevate the game because you and myself have the same ideologies of explaining things to veterans that we kind of forget the nuts and bolts of it. Keep it simple, right? The KISS system, right? When we're in an operation, hey, run this, run that, they get it. When they get in the civilian world, everything is jargon, whitewash. We start conforming into the civilian mindset. And then we start losing ourselves of our identity, and then we have to compromise. That's why the high suicide rate is so high. The other thing is that civilians, I don't care, and all due respect, all you civilians don't get it. You will never get it. I've been applying for, you know, other jobs and, oh, thank you for your service. That's just a slap in the face for me, you know, and then it's like asking me about my leadership skills. So, you know, I understand, and I don't want to get in a tangent, but I just want to share this with you.
Tangent away, brother. Tangent away.
It's like this, right? How do corporate American businesses ask us about our leadership skills when we're out there fighting and doing stuff that they will never do at a moment's notice? Those are instinctively leadership skills, leadership traits, leadership principles, core values that we stand by. And then when people see us from a higher level corporate, it's like, I can honestly say I'm having a difficulty with a manager that's saying, you're too direct, you're too blunt. You know, you show no emotion when you're explaining it. You know, are you happy in this position? I'm looking at the dude and I said, you know, I was a veteran, right? What does the delivery of the message have to give in that perception of you? I'm doing my job. So you're looking at two places that people don't get it. And that's going to be put in the middle where in society, the veterans today, they're in a oversensitive, highly aggressive, but in the middle, self-entitlement scenario. And that's what you're coming across when people jam up on you.
Yeah. And I will say many veterans are lost, and that's okay, because many veterans are trying to find their way. They are trying to find their path. They are being, because corporate America is not today what it was even 10, 15 years ago. It's not the same. You can't say anything. You can't do anything. You can't have an opinion. You can't have a joke. You can't be lighthearted. You just have to come in, be cognizant of everyone else's feelings, and still perform. Mm-hmm. Right? A certain way, which must be direct, professional, and just about the business. And that's what it is today. And if you take a step back, that's not a bad thing, right? It's not a bad thing. You don't want anyone to be harassed or not feel that they are given the job based upon their merit and their own performance. Mm-hmm. You know, and especially with professionalism, different sexes, it has to be equal, right? We have to treat each other fairly. And, but those, if you do a good job and you kick butt and you take names professionally, personally, in corporate America or the military, you get promoted, right? That's where it is. So I do agree there is a bit of a disparity. Civilians, yeah, they'll say, hey, well, thanks for your service, and they don't get it. But you can't expect them to get it, right? So the challenge for us, and it's another challenge, it's just another challenge that we have to overcome, is knowing that our directness gets stuff done in a stressful situation, a combat situation, which, again, I'm not a combat veteran, but Leadership 101, if you have a opportunity when you get done, you're direct. It's not personal. You're just getting stuff done. But on the receiving end, it's like a personal attack because they're not used to that style. So it's another challenge for us as direct communicators, and many veterans are direct communicators, to understand that not everyone thinks the way we do. And so there's the challenge. I'd say it's right or wrong. It's just reality. So the challenge is for us to realize and us to recognize that us being direct, we're just being ourselves. We're trying to get stuff done. However, on the receiving end, it could be considered condescending, right? Or somehow too direct. But that's the reality of corporate America today. Is it right? Is it wrong? Doesn't matter. What matters is what it is. And we have to survive and thrive through that. So it's still continuing to adapt. It's still continuing to overcome. And we may not like it, but shit, you're just like, okay, I don't like it. And there was a bunch of stuff we did in the military that we didn't like and that people didn't like, right? But guess what? You do it. And I hate to say it, but that what's the answer other than, okay, it is what it is. Acknowledge it and drive on. Keep doing what you do. And if for most of us, myself included, I did not do well in the corporate game when I worked for big firms because I, like you, told it how it is. I remember there was one big meeting and an executive got up and said some things and I shared my opinion, my thoughts.
Oh, yeah.
And afterwards, you can't say that. That's so-and-so. So and I'm like, Does that guy give me clients? Does his efforts pay my bills? Like, no, my efforts drive my clients. My efforts drive my success, not his. I'm paying him. He takes a piece of what I bring in and that goes up the chain. He gets paid by me, not the way around, but it's just the game. So if you don't like the game, there's a box. Corporate America has a box. You either learn that box, play well in that box, or get out of that box. And that's entrepreneurship, but you're still dealing with people. All right. So even entrepreneurship, you don't want to play in the box. You build your own box to get out of the box. However, you must still always work well with people. You must, because people are your linchpin. You can have a great idea, but you need the people around you to help that idea come to fruition to be able to implement, execute the idea. And it's frustrating for us because we think one way we're not doing anything wrong. We're just driving, but all these people don't like the way we drive. But like, I'm just trying to get from A to B as direct as I can. And sorry if you don't like it. I want to get there, but we have to acknowledge that. Not everyone's like us. So I'll shut up. That was my tangent. Back to you for that. What are your thoughts there?
Oh, I got one for you, man. So I got a manager. I got a manager right now, Ryan. Gives me the riot act. I hired you for this and this, and I see how you are. You're too stoic. You look like you're on a mission. You don't display positivity. I'm like looking at him, right? I says, what do you mean I don't display positivity? He says, you remind this. This is when I knew the guy had daddy issues. He goes, you remind me of my father. Show no emotion whatsoever. So red flag right there. What does that tell you, Brett?
It's not about you. It's about him.
It's a reflection, right? He can't handle it. Now I'm going through some challenges right now because it's work, because I work at a hospital. I'm not going to name it right now. And I'm in charge of housekeepers. And then it's like this, when you come and you change the direction of the culture, people are very resistant. This guy has been the director of this organization for the last 2 years. He's had 12 managers. I'm number 12. High turnover rate. And so you know and I know, right? If we're in the Marine Corps and we see something like that, who's the reflection of the commanding officer, the general? It's not just the freaking the unit, right?
Yep, it's the leader.
It's the leader, right? So this guy will not take any accountability or anything else. But when I heard that and I looked right at him, I said, what are you talking about? I said, well, you yell. I said, I don't yell. I said, how you figure I yell? You will know when I yell. So you get what I'm saying?
Yep.
I say, my voice carries. I have a strong voice and it'll carry, but I don't yell. And I don't argue, because I don't argue with employees. You know what I do? And he says, what? I document. You say what you got to say and move on. If it ain't on paper, it ain't real. So that's my response to you when I have people in corporate America like that, that's got daddy issues, that is not taking accountability, but is quick to point the finger and gaslight and create stupidity that causes guys like you and me to seek a different route.
Then that's the answer. So if you can't change them, and he's been in that culture for, you know, 12 plus managers, how many years that is, and that culture at some point somehow condones that because he's still there, right? He or she's still there. And okay, I'm looking at you now. So either you say, this is the box I'm in, this is where I got to play. Are you going to change the box, or do you find another box? And that's the question only you can answer, right? That's just hearing you share that. That's what's going through my head as a fellow veteran, fellow entrepreneur who's been there, done that, has a few of those t-shirts and the you don't fit in t-shirts. Okay, either this box isn't for me. If you can't change the box, do you either stay in the box, either you change or you go find a new box or you build your own box?
Well, you know, here's my thing for the veterans that are working in corporate America. First triggers is when we see core values, mission statement. That's pretty much a military mindset. When you're in the Marine Corps, there's always core values. There's a mission statement for any unit. So you take that to heart. But then they kind of change it to their liking and they manipulate it to their understanding. It's not what I say. Well, we're a family. I say, oh, hell no, we're not a family. That's a red flag. We're a team. That's a big difference. You know, to your point, I have looked at myself at this point in my life to reinvent myself, to do something different, because actually, as you stated in the beginning of the show, corporate America has changed so drastically. It's very dangerous. There's nothing to that. People like myself that come up through corporate America, that's believed, that has had a strong belief in the American dream, has been destroyed by social media.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm saying it has changed and you acknowledge change. So, okay, what do we do? And this isn't directed at you personally, but just for any veteran, do you say, oh, it's not the good old days, I can't do this anymore, and we cry about it? Or you say, okay, this was it. This is what it is. And we adapt, change, and overcome. It's what we always do. It's what we always have done. And so the field's changing. All right. We got to change with it. That's just what it is. And when the Marine Corps came out and they're talking about different colored nail polishes for female Marines, and I think getting rid of sir, ma'am, I think they tried to get rid of that. I saw recently, I'm like, what?
It's strange, man. And here's the thing. You know, and I know as an entrepreneur, right? There's guys like myself and older are a dying breed, and we change with social media. But here's the drawback to it. People are protected by the social media bubble that's 5 to 6 inches between your face, which is that iPhone. You're in a comfortable spot. You can be able to do and say whatever you are. But now we meet face to face. There's energy. There's vibes. There's perception. There's engagement. Today, everybody's talking about artificial intelligence. They're weeding the knowledge out. And that's what's happening in our neck of the woods, is veterans are losing, because they're losing sight of what's going on, because they're keeping with the times, but they're not maintaining the core values of what their beliefs are. And they find themselves in the disparity of, what do I do? I find myself in that rabbit hole. It sucks for me, but what can we do?
You drive on and you find that purpose. and that's not easy, but finding your purpose there and how to still thrive and not only survive, but then thrive in whatever it is you create, as long as you're working towards your purpose. And that purpose, if it's reflective of your values and your goals and your own personal mission statement, is everything. So what I think you are saying, it's similar to what the veteran I spoke with earlier today, who did not have a purpose, and his purpose was to try and just make money. And that's not fulfilling. That's not sustainable for a positive mindset. I mean, yeah, we all want to get through and have a good day. I get that. We want to have a nice house and lifestyle and provide for our families. But beyond that, if that's all it is, then really what do you have? It's just like the old adage. If I think they're talking about it, like a war movie, the soldier says goodbye to his girlfriend and I'm taking off to fight. She's like, don't leave, don't leave. And the soldier goes off. And then what would happen if the soldier walked 15 feet away, stops, you know what? Screw it. I'm going AWOL. I'm going to hang out with you, babe. That doesn't happen, because that soldier has their mission to go accomplish and they must accomplish that mission. And then everything else supports or comes in behind that. So for a lot of us, once we leave, if we don't find, and again, it took me 20 years where it really clicked for me and I was kind of lost. I knew I wanted to work with veterans and support the community. I wasn't sure how to do it in the right way, because I only did 4 years and it was like you have to blend in corporate America. And I was, you labeled as too aggressive because I was a Marine. I'm just an aggressive dude, period. I happen to be a Marine, but I'm an aggressive dude, period, which is fine. So I fit well in the Marines, but it's still the same thing. I didn't do well with people telling me what to do, especially when they weren't smarter than me and they're above me. And so when I was a young lieutenant, I had a big mouth and I didn't keep my mouth shut. So that didn't always play well in corporate games there. I don't mind sharing that, but you got to learn. The military is still a system and it's a game, and you play that game. You play the game well, you get promoted. Combat leadership, that changes things. The peacetime Marine Corps that I was in, I think, and I can't speak from experience, was very different though from a wartime.
Yeah.
Military, different things. So again, I was in during peacetime, where it was like I was lectured once because I kept my Marines late to try and teach them tactics after the regular workday. In case we went to combat, they would know tactics. And XO was like, they have families. If you keep them away from their families, they're not going to reenlist. Like, my job's to lead them. So if we go to combat, they don't fucking die. And that's what I'm trying to do, is make sure they're prepared for combat, which is my mission. Because if I get shot and I'm not there, they need to be able to execute the mission. And that should be our only mission, is right, being able to place ourselves, make sure the mission's accomplished and we're not there. So that thought doesn't always transcend well to corporate America, right? If you're a manager at your place of employment right now, you know, you're not teaching them, hey, if I get shot today and I'm not here, can you guys carry out this mission? It's not the same thing. However, we're trained there, and you learn that lesson and it's ingrained in you in the military at a different level. It's hard to bring it down in corporate America, which is sometimes what needs to happen.
You know, here's my thought. We are in deep trouble because we are not getting the support that our country says they're doing. They're not. And I think that, like you said, I've had numerous experiences where you find yourself in a stressful situation. You go back to your military tactics of how to handle stressful situations. And it's not appreciated because it's after the fact, right? So they find stupid stuff to point things out, but they don't look at the moral of the story that we completed the mission. So this is where our community, our society, our nation is very hypocritical. They eat up their own. They're eating us alive. And they're not doing it because they don't know better. We've been on peacetime so much over here, for the exception of 9/11, right? And you think about peacetime, oh, you got to go take care of it. Dude, you got too much time on your hands to be worrying about it. We are frowned upon on so many things. I look at the situation right now. I got three buddies of mine. They're MOSOC operators. They're up for court-martial. They're in Camp Cherry Point, North Carolina. The government flipped on them and turned on their backs. Here I'm advocating on the show, oh, if somebody strikes this, and I'm going like, there's three combat veterans that have been deployed more than 15 times. They're back. Why can't you give them back? What's the moral of the story, Brett? We're in the same pickle. Combat, non-combat. I mean, I'm going to the extremes of what's going on. People don't want to address the elephant in the room, dude. They don't.
Well, with that, though, okay. So let's just say that's there. And let's say you're right. Okay. So what do we do? And that's what the purpose of this is, and this is what's helping me with my purpose, is giving or helping create a safe place where other veterans who feel the way you do can be themselves and can share and can vent and can find their purpose and acknowledge the world isn't what it was. The world is what it is today. Okay, how do I position myself to thrive here today? How do I drive forward today? And for me, it's that mental shift. It's easy to sit there and say, this is bad, this is bad, this is bad, this is bad. But at the same time, this is America's land opportunity. Mm-hmm. If you want something, what are you doing to go for it? How are you setting yourself up? Do you have the victim mentality? Are you the opportunist? Okay. I have challenges. I don't work always well in certain situations. Acknowledge that. Okay. What situations do I thrive? Okay. How can I create that environment for myself personally, professionally, so I can thrive in corporate America today and build something and have that fulfill my purpose? It's not an easy answer. It's not a yes or no question. It's deep thinking, but each one of us has a choice. We get mad at the system. It's easy to say, okay, them, right? Got it. And you know, maybe it is me. Maybe I don't get along well with others. Maybe I've got challenges. Okay, great. But how do I thrive? And then focusing on the positives and then working towards those positives, I think, is the only way. If we don't do that, we're going backwards, not going forward. So I think, yeah.
I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, please, please, please. I'll stop there.
It's called personal growth, dude. If we're not developing ourselves, we're not sharpening our skills, we're not mentoring or seeing things and addressing things matter like anything else. Entrepreneurship is all about personal growth and personal development and leadership. It's the same thing with this strategy of the mindset for veteran-owned businesses as well, right? We are so focused on our own lives that sometimes we have to look outside the box to see where things are in so somebody else can challenge us so we can be more in tune to what's going on. So that way people can understand that, hey, we got ourselves together. We're moving together as one team. We have a safe haven. We can address our issues. Now we address our issues. Okay, stop addressing the issues. Stop bringing me problems. Bring me solutions, right? That's why I tell my people at work, don't bring me problems. Bring me solutions to the problems. I hear problems all day.
Or with that, or come, and this is from the military and the Marine Corps, especially for me. Great, acknowledge a problem, but you can come to your leader or whoever's above you with a problem, but also have a couple thoughts or ideas for solutions. You may not have the right solution, but at least be able to think about it. And I know you're tired because you work nights, so I appreciate you being here.
Oh, no, I'm good.
And
I'm good.
Keeping
don't
you
worry
awake.
Don't worry about it.
No, I know you work nights, man, so you've had a long day, so appreciate you making the time here. But that's where I like, come to me with an issue. Great, that's fine. There's always issues. There always will be issues. That's personal life. That's professional life. That's just living. There's always issues. But have a thought or idea how to fix those issues, right? Don't just say, boss, I got a problem. Boss, I have a problem. However, I'm thinking A, B, and C of these three solutions to the problem. I think A is the best and this is why. What are your thoughts? Boom. All day long. I love that. It may be the wrong idea, the wrong solution, but they're trying. And that trying, that effort is grit versus just, I got a problem. I give up and walk up and just say, you handle it. I can't do it. And that's, I think, the difference. And we can all do that. And if we all want to grow, we all want to improve, it's addressing a problem. Yes, it's a problem, but having a thought and then have collaboration with your team or management to find a solution that quote is the best for the cards you're dealt.
Yeah.
Right. And that's a mindset. It's a mindset.
So let me share something with you, right? Mindset. So, you know, I work at the hospital. I work at night. I work Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. I make my rounds. And I could tell you, this is where it changes the perception of my life. I've worked in the government and everything. It isn't until you work in a hospital and you see the crisis and you see things. I worked, what we call labor and delivery, or then NICU is emergency for the babies, right? They put in the incubator. I walked in there that night and the baby died. It sucked. Baby didn't make it. They had this little purple card and everything. So I put it in perspective, right, that I'm here working on Christmas Eve, but look how many people are sick. Look at the lives that we're losing. Look at the innocent lives we're looking. I go to ICU. I'm walking over there. People are tubed up like a freaking engine block. Parents, you know, giving their last rites. That's why I'm upset, because people don't realize the significance of life and veterans as well. So I take that as a mind shift perspective that I need to do something more because this part of my life is teaching me something different that people don't get to see. What do you think?
I think having a different perspective is huge, and it's a challenge yet opportunity at the same time. So the question is, what do you do with that? How do you turn that into part of your own purpose, your own mission to make the world a better place? How can you take that experience and those visual experiences, those emotional experiences, and then if your purpose is to serve veterans, the veteran community, how can you take that and parlay it into something that helps us, genuinely helps us in an altruistic, not for money manner? And I don't know the answer. And I don't know if any of the listeners have the answer, but that's what I think.
I look at it this way, right? When you have life experiences like, and you put it in perspective, people have veterans like you and myself. I don't care if you're peacetime or whatever. We're both veterans, right? We both served. People will never know and understand the dynamic transformation that we take when we sign that piece of paper, a blank check up until our lives to do things. And then we come out different. Then we're penalized for being different. Then we don't get the support of being different. Now we have to collect our own village and fellowship to be mindful of how we're so different. We're broken to a certain extent, but we're fixable because we see things differently and we excel than other people. We do extraordinary things for average people that choose not to do things, which they say they would. So back to your point, you find scenarios like that are deep-rooted, that trigger you. You use it as a vehicle, leverage, to perpetuate the message and help people engage that your time is up, dude. You don't know what's going to happen. And I think that's about the best approach I can give you.
Yeah, I mean, that's every day. Like, every day we could sit there, today could be our last day. And what are we doing to drive forward? What are we doing to improve? What are we doing to give back? What are we doing to make the world a better place? And if I die tomorrow, have I made the world a better place than it was today? And only each one of us can answer that question. So I do want to shift gears quickly before we end. I just want to chat about you and your experience and success on just LinkedIn and how that's kind of happened. So we connected because I just saw your post and saw your awesome Marine. You had, what, 26,000 likes? And I think that's one of the most successful posts for a non-celebrity, right, or a non-influencer, so to speak, a genuine influencer. Tell me about you and what you do, and you have your own kind of live chats, and just share a little bit about that, Hiram. I'd appreciate that.
Well, thanks, bro. I think the highest I've had is Clint Eastwood. It's 4.7. So look, I'm just an average guy. I'm a kid from Brooklyn that dropped out of eighth grade. Technically, it has a fifth grade reading level, fourth grade grammar. Joined the Marine Corps at 17. Never went back to New York. Did a lot of stupid things, but was able to become a Marine. And then finally, when I got stationed in San Diego, became a drill instructor, I decided to stay. But it wasn't till I had to get out and learn to grow up. It wasn't until I found myself floundering in society because we didn't have that time. And I learned a lot from the Vietnam veterans because they were the ones that helped me get to where I'm at today. And I decided 20 years ago to be an advocate for veterans and veterans' rights. So I just started posting stuff. And back then, LinkedIn was strictly business. It's like, hey, it's business-minded. It's nothing of this hybrid stuff. So as doing these posts, people started following. Then the last 2 years, I did a podcast, do it on LinkedIn Perspective. I have a YouTube channel. I focus on the content, and that's all I do in real life scenarios. And that's how it's been able to do. Now I'm looking to do exactly what you're doing because I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I've seen it through all. And the reason why I'm working in corporate America right now is to provide health care for my wife, because, we can take care of our own. But if you're responsible for a family member, you have to sacrifice. And I find that my last point is that while you're sacrificing for your family, you're also sacrificing yourself and your capabilities. And I find that I'm not going to compromise myself ever again because we live in a world that's very unfair and unjust. So that's what I'm all about.
Yeah, I think that's great. And so how do people, if they wanted to find you, if they wanted to see your podcast or your live streams, how do they find you?
Well, they can look me up on LinkedIn. I haven't done one live in a bit, but I'll do one about the Mossad 3 and something else. On LinkedIn Perspective, this YouTube channel, it goes live on Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube. And then it'll be digitally recorded. And I'm working with somebody that's going to help from a media standpoint monetize that stuff. And you're more than welcome. I'll let you know who it is. But she's a veteran and she's doing phenomenal. So that's my direction.
I wish you luck there on the corporate side and wish you continued success, not success, but continued success with your social media. And hopefully YouTube channel grows. And I look forward to watching some episodes. And who knows, maybe you'll ask me to be on your channel.
Oh, yeah, you will be, man. For you and Giselle, you guys will be there. I feel like giving, this is how I operate. I'm invited, I give back. That's how it is. No sweat off my back. There's plenty of success in the world. I don't hoard that.
Love it, brother. Love it. Well, appreciate you being here today. So if someone wants to reach you again directly, what's your LinkedIn, or do you have a web page where they can find you, or what's the easy way to find you right now, or just Google that, your podcast?
They can Google me on LinkedIn Perspective. They can find me on LinkedIn. They'll see my picture in the wallpaper will say drill instructor on it. So you can't miss that. It'll say LinkedIn broadcast podcast on underneath my name. So we'll see how that goes. Get people out there, but I want to thank you and Giselle and to the audience. This is the only opportunity we're going to be able to hear real talk. So take it for what it's worth.
It's what we do, brother. Appreciate you being here, being real, whether it's good, bad, or ugly. It's here. Hence the shirt, dude. It's perfect. I got to stand up. So the good, bad, the ugly shirt. This is my favorite shirt in my favorite movie. I have actually a poster of Clint Eastwood on the wall too. So I love Clint and love his style. So he's strong and silent. I'm strong and not silent. So this is why we podcast. So appreciate it, brother. So if anyone wants to reach us or have any questions, comments, thoughts, feedback, I'm Brett. Our website's www.swe90.com. That's short for Strategic Wealth Endeavor 90.com. Please reach out. Any questions, comments? Thanks for being here. Appreciate the podcast. And Hiram, looking forward to seeing you. And
thank you for listening to the Veteran Entrepreneur Masterclass podcast. Don't forget to click the follow button to become notified when new episodes become available. Securities offered through IFP Securities LLC, DBA Independent Financial Partners, IFP, member FINRA, and SIPC. Investment advice offered through IFP Investors LLC, DBA Independent Financial Partners, IFP, a registered investment advisor. IFP and Strategic Wealth Endeavor INC are not affiliated. The views expressed are that of the host and are for informational purposes only, and in no event should be construed as an offer to buy or sell securities. Opinions expressed are subject to change without notice and do not take into account the particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs of individual investors. Neither IFP Investors LLC, IFP Securities LLC, DBA Independent Financial Partners, IFP, nor their affiliates offer tax or legal advice. Interested parties are strongly encouraged to seek advice from qualified tax and/or legal experts regarding the best options for your particular circumstances. The information given herein is taken from sources that IFP Advisors LLC, DBA Independent Financial Partners,